One of the things struck me this year as I pondered this reading from Mark's Gospel, Mark's version of the Palm Parade. It's not that I hadn't seen it before, but somehow it jumped out at me even more prominently this year. And that is, of the 11 verses that we read, fully 5 of them are dedicated to this one activity, the activity of borrowing a colt or donkey, however you want to refer, and the instructions to do so, and what to do if people protest against such an invitation. And it struck me because it was a prism through which I saw some of Jesus' life and what I thought would be an invitation to us as well. Jesus borrowed the donkey. Now, you and I are familiar with borrowing. If you've grown up in families and you have siblings, you know what it's like to borrow a dress or a shirt or a belt or a sock, or sometimes you don't tell the sibling that you borrowed it. You know what that's like and find out later. We know what it is to borrow a cup of sugar from a next-door neighbor for a recipe that you were in the midst of and realize you don't have all the ingredients. That it is to borrow a lawnmower or snowblower, although this year you didn't need it very much. Borrow a little money, borrow a miter saw, borrow whatever from neighbors. We know about borrowing. There's a serious kind of borrowing that is afoot now. Every year we're being reminded that since the last 12 or so years, there have been an annual increase in household debt in Canada, to the point where it has really gotten the attention of the Ministry of Finance, and a strategy just 2.5 years ago was developed and still rolling out, a media campaign, an educational campaign. That kind of borrowing has gotten many families and individuals in trouble. And I quote from the policy document: Canadians are increasingly accumulating debt rather than spending from their savings. Household debt levels continue to rise while saving rates continue to decrease. These recommendations on changing the culture of borrowing focuses on measures that will help introduce a cultural shift in the attitudes and practices of Canadians surrounding the use of credit and accumulated debt. Under the direction of the Department of Finance Canada, a multifaceted media campaign should be launched to heighten and improve the awareness of Canadians about the importance of careful debt and savings management. Ideally, this campaign would pay particular attention to vulnerable groups, including students, young families, potential new homeowners, seniors, and small business owners. This kind of borrowing is troublesome. It's not a shaming reality. It is something that both the government, church communities, debt counseling, counselors are all seeing. It is affecting profoundly the lives of people. And so there's strategies to encourage it. I invite you later on, not right now, but to look in your bulletin about a workshop that we are recommending, Money Sanity. Just a little plug for that, but a key one. You see, borrow, the word borrow means to take or receive something that you intend to give back. Or borrow can also mean something that you will take, such as borrowing an idea, borrowing terms from another language. In arithmetic, it's borrowing, in the action of subtraction, you borrow. So there are all kinds of references to borrowing. I remember my very first negative experience and memory of borrowing. So when I was a child in Barbados, my father used to make kites. So make them out of little bamboo strips and paper and make wonderful, colorful kites. And I remember inviting us to color them sometimes with him. And we'd go out to the field and we'd fly the kites, I remember, with the green twine. And we'd let it out and watch it, and sometimes we'd have to haul it in because the tail wasn't long enough and you want it to move. I remember that distinctly. And remember one day, there was a young man that came by and he asked to borrow the kite. He said he was watching us and admired the wonderful way in which we were flying this kite, and I was very proud even as a young boy. And my dad made this kite. He was off with my brother operating another kite. And I said, oh, okay. So he took it, and I said, be careful, don't let go, we'll fly away. And he was flying it around for a little while and so forth, and that seemed fine. And then he came back and he gave it back to me. And he said, thank you. And he ran off. So I'm flying the kite, and it wasn't very long before I felt pop. The string broke and the kite flew away. And when I hauled it in, I told my dad I was sad. I started to cry, this beautiful kite. And when we examined the twine, what this young man had done is take his nail and sever or weaken the twine maliciously so that he knew when giving it back to him, it wouldn't be long before the wind would break it. That was a negative view of borrowing. I didn't think too highly of that young man. I told my dad. But there's a kind of borrowing also that brings us to points of nobility. And such is what I want to reflect on today. In Jesus' own life, his life was characterized by borrowing. And so this action that he undertook with his disciples was not surprising. As they approach Jerusalem, he tells his disciples to go into a nearby village and to borrow a colt, borrow a donkey. Tell them the Lord has need of it if somebody stops you. So let's think about Jesus' life from the very beginning. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in a borrowed stable. He was placed in a borrowed manger. Throughout his life, he had to borrow the homes of people that he would travel around and depend on their hospitality. And one occasion when he's preaching near the lake, the Sea of Galilee, he borrows a fishing boat to use as a pulpit to preach to the people. In the story that's told in all four of the Gospels, in John, it is a boy, but in the others, Jesus borrows the little food that is there in the multitude, multiplies it to feed everybody. Jesus' life was characterized by borrowing. His was not an acquisitive life. The statement, I believe, of his action of borrowing was to declare a number of things, one of which is that the abundance and the abounding resources of God is meant to be available to all. That the spirit and the preparedness and generosity of compassion that renders people willing to lend and to share is something that he was trying to engender by modeling. We are to depend on each other. The lesson is an interdependency. So his borrowing was instructive. It was pedagogical. It was meant indeed to demonstrate something about how we are to be in relationship to our resources. There are ways in which we can borrow things from one another that add to courage and good news. But also we can borrow in ways that debilitate others and contribute to the demise of social cohesion and the well-being of others. An example in point. I remember when I was doing my degree at McGill in social work and psychology. I was very involved in the Varsity Christian Fellowship, student Christian movement, and the student council. And it was that time when universities and others around the world were gathering and marshaling momentum to protest apartheid. I was part of a section leader of those who led marches down St. Catherine Street and others protesting apartheid. And what I realized in that is that we would always instruct and go over the plan that this was to be peaceful. We were not going to be trying to protest a system of violence by using violence. And what I found is that there are some people who are a little unsure of this, who have never done it before, but as they marched together and as we sang songs, We Shall Overcome and other kinds of things, that there was a momentum gathered and people started to borrow the courage of the crowd. They borrowed the inspiration and the imagination from each other. And we see that over and over repeated throughout, both in South Africa, in the marches that Martin Luther King led, nonviolent marches, people borrowed courage as the dogs were sicked on them, as the hoses came and the police came and beat them. Even right now in our news, look on the screen and you see the people in homes and other places in Syria borrowing courage from each other to nonviolently protest what is going on in Syria. They're, even though they're being shelled and shot at, they borrow this courage from each other. But there's also the kind of borrowing of courage that demeans and undermines. We borrow courage that we saw last year. Some people are emboldened by crowds to do that which they would not do by themselves. The riots after the Stanley Cup final in Vancouver. Some of the ways in which a normally and majority peaceful demonstration recently in Quebec has gone violent by some factions, emboldened to use that occasion opportunistically. So the way in which we borrow can either inure or go and move us in directions of courage that ennoble our cause and ennoble the things that will bring glory to God and well-being to others. Or they can embolden us to do that which is wrong, that which undermines cohesion of society and the well-being of others. We're called, I believe, to look to the example of Jesus, because in that same procession, we saw a crowd laying down their garments and leafy branches in adulation of the one whom they thought would come and save them. That's what the word Hosanna means literally. Save us, we pray. And as the crowd gathers, they knew in a sense, because they had to draw from the courage of each other, because this such a proclamation in light of the strong military force that Rome had brought in, because every Passover festival, the Roman Empire would come and flex its muscles, because it knew that there was something potentially subversive about the celebration of Passover. When the people of Israel looked to their past, when they overthrew, as it were, the constraints of Pharaoh, when they were able to flee the bondage of Egypt, and it stirred the imagination and the insurrectionist motifs, as it were, of the people. And so Rome was particularly careful at Passover time to establish a mighty presence. They sent an additional legions to surround and bolster the military presence. So here you have this demonstration of might and power, ready to suppress any insurrection. And here Jesus borrows a donkey. But in so doing, it is a profound example of street theater and a parable in action. Jesus purposely borrows this because he borrows from the tradition of his scriptures, from Zechariah, that says the Messiah will come on a donkey and ride into Jerusalem. So he borrows this, knowing full well that the import of it would not be lost on his audience. He had come to claim a particular way of bringing in the kingdom of God. Not perhaps the expectation that most of the Israel community thought. But he came nonetheless to demonstrate that this new way, this new reign of God was being ushered in through his life and his ministry and his teaching and his actions and what was going to happen. So he borrowed the donkey, but he borrowed from the tradition as well to make a point. His was to engender a new way of understanding God's purpose and work in the community and in the world. Even on the cross, as we shall see as we approach Good Friday, on the cross, Jesus borrows. He borrows the faith of his people. He borrows from Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? But it doesn't stop there. A lot of people think that it's just the first line, but Jesus, steeped in the spirituality and the traditions of Israel scripture as he grew up and was taught, not only he wouldn't have been saying the Psalms, he would have been singing the Psalms and singing the entire Psalm. which speaks not only of a sense of abandonment, but moves between the mood of feeling abandoned and feeling supported. It was you that protected me at my mother's breast, the psalm goes on to say. You have delivered me. Draw near to me now. He drew from the tradition. He borrowed from it to strengthen him in a time of trial. So Jesus models for us a number of things with respect to how we shall borrow. There are times when we don't seem to have the strength or the faith, we're invited to borrow it. Two stories. I remember one of the most dramatic, and even to this day, powerful examples of borrowing that I felt privileged, although unintendedly, to be able to provide. I was working as a social worker in Montreal. A young woman came to me distraught, absolutely distraught. You could tell she had been crying, her face was puffy, eyes wet. She said, I've got to talk to you, need to help me. She was on her way to an appointment at a Montreal hospital to have an abortion. She'd been told by family, she was unmarried in her late teens, that this would be the best thing for her. They counseled her, her friends, everyone. And she had resigned herself and walking up, because she wasn't going to take the bus. This was a deliberate decision, and she was walking up to the hospital. She stopped in to my office and says, I need to talk to you. I feel in my gut that I don't want to do this, but everybody's telling me it's the best thing that I can do. And I listened to her and talked with her and helped explore all of the feelings and the reasons why. And finally, we came to the point where, together, sharing and deciding that, you know, if you really feel so strongly, this is not for you, you are choosing, you don't want to do this, you're just pleasing everyone around you, don't do it. You're the one that must live with this. I said, but it's going to be terrible. I said, it will be all right. We will ensure that there's opportunity to support you and encourage you and to walk with you. And she said, but I don't have that faith. I don't have that faith that it's going to be okay. And I don't know what inspired me or came over me to say, I said, well, borrow mine for now. And she decided not to. Did not see this person for many, 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 many years because they decided to move away. She decided to move away. Next time I saw the person, they came because they heard I had returned to Montreal on a visit. They came to tell me, I want you to meet someone. Here's my daughter. This is my daughter that would not have been had I not borrowed your faith. That's dramatic. The other story is, when I needed to borrow someone else's faith and courage. Serving in Jamaica, we had been right in the midst of the building project for the Human Development Center. We were having funding problems. We were having construction problems. We were having all kinds of problems. And I was despairing that this would not finish. And I had really prayed and tried to discern that this was indeed the calling of our ministry in the inner city there. And somehow it looked like it just wasn't going to happen. We prayed with the deacons at the church and two of the wise elder saints. Said, Anthony, it will be fine. God indeed will provide. And the confidence that they exhibited, I borrowed from that to hold me through that time of despair. We borrow from each other. Jesus demonstrates that the borrowing that ennobles us gives us courage both in faith and action to do those things that are risky is possible. The borrowing also reminds us. It reminds us profoundly that the resources of God, the interdependent way in which we're meant to live, is available for all. Let us not hold so tightly the things we think are ours. For the life of spiritual borrowing requires that there be an openness to lend. So what kind of borrowing shall we do this season of Holy Week? Amen.